Hi, my name's Lewis Thorne, and I'd like to welcome you to the latest in our series of FX podcasts. I'm joined today with Ryan from our economics team and Chris from our FX trading team, and we're just going to give you a bit of a rundown on what some of the latest themes are that we're seeing in the markets. I think one of the key surprises for us this week has been the rallying in sterling over the last 48 hours, despite all of the risks surrounding coronavirus, with Brexit seemingly going unignored. It's causing us to scratch our heads a little bit around what's actually causing this. So, first of all, I'd like to hand over to Ryan from our economists team, who'll give you a bit of a lowdown on what's been going on in the macroeconomic environment.
Thank you, Lewis, and good afternoon all. In terms of the global macroeconomic environment, I suppose for investors, they're still facing a great deal of uncertainty. There's 2 points to note on this. Firstly, you're continuing to see emerging signs of an economic recovery in many advanced economies that have lifted lockdown measures in the recent month. This has been framed by survey evidence, including that from the widely watched PMIs, which have rebounded sharply from the lows seen in April, and also retail sales figures in a number of countries, which have also strengthened. On the flip side of that, and obviously the key risk, is that the coronavirus continues to spread and at an increasing pace across the world. Now, there is a couple of points I'd like to make on this. Firstly, I suppose one notable point is that despite falling daily infection rates here in the UK and across Europe, the numbers globally have continued to trend upwards. The latest numbers show daily infections now verging on 200,000 cases a day, and the total global number of infections is likely to top 11 million today or tomorrow. There's, I suppose, two key points to note from this trend in the infection numbers. Firstly, the trend in the US is particularly worrying. Here you're seeing the daily number of infections surging across the southern and western states. Of particular note are ones such as California, Arizona, Texas. And in fact, the national daily number of infections surpassed 50,000 yesterday, and that's now a record high. I suppose the question from this is what kind of impact this may have on the economic recovery, particularly given that the sharp rise in infections is leading to a number of these states halting or even reversing the easing of lockdown measures. Secondly, on a more global scale, the virus is now spreading at an alarming rate in a number of emerging market economies, and arguably those which have healthcare systems which are less prepared to deal with the sharp rise in cases. I suppose notable countries here are Brazil, but also India and Russia, where there are certainly concerning trends in the rate of infection. I suppose from an investor's point of view, the big question here is whether this trend in virus infections, particularly in the US, and the reinstatement of lockdown measures, albeit on a more localized manner, risks undermining the economic recovery and indeed eroding the positive risk sentiment that has been seen in the most recent weeks. Just away from coronavirus itself, domestically, Brexit is very much on the radar once more. This week actually witnessed the restart of face-to-face negotiations between the UK and Brussels over the UK's future trade deal. That actually marks the first in a series of five rounds of talks, which will continue through the rest of July. To date, previously, various rounds of negotiations were held by teleconference, and they failed to yield any significant progress in talks. Major sticking points includes fisheries policy and EU demands for a level playing field in regulations going forward. Additionally, there is still a large degree of uncertainty over services and especially UK financial services access to EU markets post-Brexit. On this point, Tuesday marked a missed milestone, with both sides meant to have carried out an assessment on financial services equivalence. And here, there's even disagreement over who's completed what. The UK has claimed it submitted all of its paperwork, but on the flip side, the EU are claiming that the UK has only answered 4 of 28 questions. So certainly on the financial services front and future access to EU markets, there still remains an awful lot of work that still needs to be done on this front. For markets, it's worth keeping an eye on news headlines tomorrow. You've got chief negotiators from both sides meeting between 10 a.m. and 12 European time, and it's likely that Michel Barnier will deliver some kind of comments to the media afterwards, which may give some flavour to the progress over negotiations this week, particularly given that we haven't had any real news of the first round of face-to-face talks this week. So I think that's particularly something worth watching out for and something which could move markets. I suppose just to end the Brexit points, I suppose to note our central case on Brexit effectively envisages some continued toing and froing in negotiations in the weeks and months ahead. But our central case is that a last minute deal is likely to be reached between the UK and the EU on a free trade agreement post-transition period, which to our mind should support sterling into year end.
Okay, thanks very much for that, Ryan. And Chris, what's your view on all of this? Obviously, I mean, do you feel like this move higher in sterling is expected, or has it come as a bit of a surprise to you with everything that's going on?
Well, I think if you look at it, you've got a few factors here. I mean, if you look at last week, we were trading around similar levels, around a 125.43 higher. So we're only basically back to where we were a week ago. So I think what is making it look a little bit different is we had that dip to 122.52 at the start of the week. And that was a little bit on the localised lockdown of Leicester and a bit of fears of a second wave. What we've actually seen is quite a strong rebound from that low of 122.52, up around 2% to trade above 125. And a lot of that is really down to risk sentiment again. I think if you look at some of the data we've seen globally, like the German retail sales, we also had the Bank of England's Howard Dane talking about V-shaped recovery. But I think the market has been looking at these kind of data points and seeing that things may not be as bad as once thought. And so we've seen a bit of a risk-on environment.
So, Chris, do you feel like the market's just currently ignoring Brexit at the moment? Because you would have thought with everything going on around the virus that Brexit would be enough to keep the pound fully pinned down, but it just doesn't really seem to be the case at the moment. I'm just wondering what your view is in terms of what's priced in and what's not.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly having less volatility on the market, and the headlines that we are seeing aren't really having big reactions at the moment. I think we spent a long time worrying about Brexit and a hard Brexit and a no-deal Brexit. And now we've had this the COVID-19, you start to look at it in a different way. You know, how much more damage can the hard or no-deal Brexit do compared to the damage that's been caused by the coronavirus outbreak? But I guess we're starting to question what kind of impact whatever kind of Brexit we get will have on the market. I do think that there still is a possibility of a deal being achieved. Like Ryan says, it might be in the later stages of the year, but I think that might be slightly underpriced at the moment. All we're seeing is headlines from like Merkel saying that we should be preparing better for a no-deal Brexit. And these are the headlines that we're seeing. But actually, there is a possibility that it will be a deal. And these things always happen in the last minute. So I think that aspect might be slightly underpriced. And if we get some positive headlines over the next few days, we could see that reflected in sterling.
Yeah, so I feel like sterling's probably got a bit of a rough ride to come over, well, certainly until potentially the right up to deadline day, really. And then I guess it's just a case of whether a deal can get struck or not, which obviously is a bit of a gamble, really, for corporate clients, I guess, at the moment.
Yeah, I think if you're kind of looking at the near term, you're going to have lots of headlines. Headlines aren't really going to show there's much progress, probably, I'd imagine, for the coming weeks. But say our central case is that longer term, or rather by the end of the year, they do manage to cobble something together.
Okay, guys. Well, look, thanks very much for your time today. And then please make sure that everybody tunes back in for the next podcast, which will be in 2 weeks' time. Thank you very much.